acquainted with Him. Amen. And I bless the Lord for that. All right, 1 Kings chapter number 17 in your Bibles this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17. You find your place there in the Word of God, and we'll begin reading in just a moment. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. But I'm thrilled that He knows who I am. Amen. I know who Donald Trump is. He's my president that I voted for. Amen. But he don't know me. He is to walk in, I'd know him right off. I'd stand and respect out of his position, his authority. And I know him, but he don't know me. But there's one, I love Mr. Trump, but there's one who's greater than Mr. Trump this morning. And I know him. If he was walking the room, I'd recognize him. I'm going to tell you something real good about it. If he was walking the room, he'd recognize me. Amen. That's good, even though a white boy is saying it. I'm telling you, that's the truth, amen. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. But I'm thrilled that Jesus knows who I am. It would mean nothing in this world if I knew who He was and He didn't know who I was. But I'm glad that's not the case. Amen. In fact, long before I ever knew about Him, He knew about me. I quoted the verse to the men in the prayer room. The Bible said, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. He didn't wait till we got to doing better and pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps and, you know, we're better in society. But while we were yet sinners, while we were yet cursing His name and shaming His Son, He loved us. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in His own blood, unto Him be glory in the church, world without end. And Paul said, amen. That's exactly right. 1 Kings chapter 17, if you're willing and physically able to do so, let's stand together. And of course, by standing, we honor and reverence the Word of God today. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Amen. Verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, as I have commanded, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your love. Thank you, Lord, for the good spirit we already feel in your house today. Thank you for your presence. Lord, I pray that you touch for the next few moments, Lord, as we try to preach what I believe you've laid upon our heart. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me of sin. You'd empty me of self. Fill me with thy spirit. I pray, Lord, that somebody would receive some help, maybe some instruction today, not because of anything I have to say, but because of the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, if you don't touch me today, I'll just be a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal, and I'll just be a waste of time. And I don't want to waste these folks' time. So God, I ask you, as humble as I know how, Lord, to touch me and use me today. Get glory to yourself in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. 1 Kings chapter 17 is probably one of the most popular and well-known chapters in the book of 1 Kings. We are introduced to a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah comes on the scene here, and we know that this is the account where he tells him it's not going to rain, and where he goes by the brook Cherith, and he goes to the woman at Zarephath, and then the woman at Zarephath's son passes away. And then in chapter 18, the showdown on Mount Carmel. In chapter 19, Jezebel tries to intimidate Elijah, and she does a pretty good job at it. And there's a lot, I love studying Elijah's life. I mean, there's a lot of great study, and if you've never studied Elijah's life, I'd encourage you to do so. It is a great study and give you some great principles. And I want to preach out of verse number 7 this morning. I want to walk down these verses by way of introduction, and I want to build up to the thought that I believe the Lord has put upon our heart today. By way of introduction, first of all, I notice the days that they are living in. You see, these days here in 1 Kings chapter number 17, they are days of insolence. They are days of idolatry, and they are
their days of insulting. You see, there is a king reigning on the throne of Israel, but it is not a godly king. It is not a David. It is not even a Solomon on a good day, but it is a king by the name of Ahab. And Ahab was a wicked king. One writer said, times were so bad, it seemed as if Satan had transferred his residence from hell to earth. Israel was united under Saul, David, and Solomon, but those were the only three kings that were rule over all 12 tribes. Solomon's death signaled the end of a unity, and a split of the kingdom took place. This split brought about bad morals and confusion about who the true God was. Six wicked kings preceded this man named Ahab, and Ahab was the most wicked king that Israel had ever known. It's interesting that six wicked kings preceded Ahab, and Ahab was the most wicked king. Seven in the Bible is the number of completion. So could it be that Ahab was the complete most wicked king that Israel had ever saw? And it wasn't just that Ahab was a wicked king. He was married to an old hussy whose name was Jezebel. I mean, can you imagine being named to somebody named Jezebel? Some of you are nodding your heads. Some of you are putting your heads down. It's all right. But can you imagine even wanting to go out on a date with a girl named Jezebel? I mean, that's really not the one. You're like, man, that's a pretty name. I'm going to ask her out for a date. Amen. She is a wicked woman. In fact, years ago, there was a preacher I don't necessarily care for, but I think he had the greatest title of the 90s for a message. I don't like the preacher, but he won best title for the 90s. He preached on what's Ahab and Jezebel doing in the White House. That's when Bill and Hillary was in. I revived that when Obama was in. That worked great. Amen. But Ahab and Jezebel, they were wicked people. And he was a wicked king and she was a wicked woman. In fact, when she died, I've always wanted to preach on this, Brother Charles, but I haven't ever got liberty. But when she died, the Bible said she painted her face and she fell out the window and hit the ground. And she burst asunder and the dogs licked up her blood. And one day I'm going to preach on when the clown hit the ground. Amen. I believe that'd be an inspiring sermon. I don't know. I have no idea how that would encourage somebody. I just want to give that title. Amen. So I finally got to give it. Amen. I don't get good titles often, and that's one I've had written in my Bible for years and never got to preach. Amen. But that's the days they're living in. Insolence and idolatry and insult. And is that not compared to where we're living at in 2018? That word insolence gives the idea of rebellion. People rebelling against God. Idolatry. They're worshiping false gods. Predominantly in 1 Kings 17, the God they're worshiping is a god by the name of Baal. And in fact, Jezebel, her name even is associated with her false god. And they're serving another god named Ashtaroth. And they are very wicked people. And they live very wicked lives. And that's the days that Elijah's living in. I not only notice the days, I notice the description of Elijah. I love this. In the middle of this chaos, when there's sin and wickedness and insolence and idolatry and insulting going all around, God had raised up a preacher. God had raised up a man. God had raised up somebody who wasn't afraid to stand flat-footed and preach what thus saith the Lord. Elijah was a prophet. One writer said, John Butler said it like this, Elijah is an interesting man in the Bible. He was shock treatment. He was an exclamation point. He was a dynamic, no-nonsense personality. He saw things only as right and wrong, black or white, no gray area. Baal or Jehovah, there's no middle ground. I kind of like him, amen. We got a lot of people, they run around and they sit on the fence for so long, they're going to fall off of it after a while. It's either, well, it's not really that bad, or it's not really that good. Whatever you feel about it, Elijah wasn't that way. Honey, he walked right in the middle, stuck his crooked finger in the face of Ahab, and said, it's not going to rain until I say so, because thus saith the Lord. Now, can I say this? He was a prophet, but notice his position in verse 1. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Honey, get a hold of this. Before he ever stood before Ahab, he had been standing before God, and he had been standing. In fact, Brother McBride put it like this. He said that phrase, before whom I stand, is a present tense. He said, Ahab, I'm standing in front of you right now, but I'm standing in the presence of somebody greater than you. And can I say this? You may have to work in a wicked world. You have to go to school in a wicked world. You have to live in a wicked world. But honey, right in the middle of wickedness, you can be standing in the presence of God, living in the presence of God every day of your life. Amen. The description of Elijah. His name is a combination of the generic name for God, El, Elohim. And his name Jehovah, Jah, El Jah, Elijah. And somebody said, preacher, what does that mean? Well, you know what the combination of that name means? Jehovah is God. That's what Elijah means. So I said, preacher, what's the purpose of that? Well, Elijah's living in a day where they're not really not sure who God is. They got a lot of false gods. They got a lot of false idols, but nobody really knows who the true God is. And so God raised up a man by the name of Jehovah is God, Elijah. And he said, my ministry is that everybody know. You read about it in 1 Kings 18. He said that the world may know that there is a God in Israel, and it's not Baal, and it's not Asherah, but it's God Jehovah that sits on his throne. And can I say this, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved by the grace of God, God has given you a commission, and God has given you a command, and God has given you a calling to reveal to this lost and dying world. They don't know who God is. They think God is just a source of good, and maybe he's Allah, or maybe he's Buddha, or maybe he's just a mix of all of them, and all roads lead to heaven, don't they, preacher? No, they don't. There's only one road that leads to God. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. And so God has called and commissioned and charged us to reveal to this lost, dying world who Jesus is. So we find the days, we find the description. Notice his declaration in verse 1. He said, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now you Bible students understand, sometimes in the word of God, a famine was sent for correction. A famine was sent for judgment. This is the case here in 1 Kings chapter number 17. Because Israel, they had defied God. They're following their leadership. They had defied God. And so God sent this famine, this drought upon the land. The days, the description, the declaration. But then I want you to notice the directions in verse 2 through 4. I'm getting to where I want to preach. Just hang on. Elijah delivers his message to Ahab. Now, I can testify this as a preacher. I know Brother Larry can and Brother Richie can. We can testify this as preachers. And maybe even some of you Sunday school teachers can relate. God will give you a burden to teach a lesson or to preach a message, and you'll get up with boldness and you'll make some declarative statements. And then you get in your car and you drive home and you think, huh, did I really say that? Now, you may have never done that before, but that's usually my ride home every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I mean, believe it or not, I know it's hard, but I'm a little controversial. I know that comes shocking. But it's a little controversial. I'm not the most controversial evangelist in America. Somebody's already got that title. But I'm just a little controversial because I just call sin, sin, and I call white, white, and black, black. Amen. Amen. And so, sometimes you second guess yourself because you're human. Well, should I have said that? Well, I mean, was that just me and my Brother Sanford? I forgot Brother Sanford's a preacher. He knows what I'm talking about. He's nodding his head. You get up to preach and you're like, and you declare something, and you're like, yeah, I feel good about it. Then you get in your car and like, what in the world was I saying? Don't look at me like that. You preachers are nodding your head like, yeah, preacher, we know exactly what you're talking about. Because you declare things and you can't, sometimes you can't discern, was I in the spirit or was I in the flesh? And so I'm wondering if Elijah's now walking out of the palace, man. He just told the most powerful man in the world, it ain't going to rain. And he says, oh, I live here too. Yeah, it's not going to rain at my house either. Lord, did you think about that? You forgot, you know, I'm your preacher. And you just gave me this great message to tell everybody, it ain't going to rain until I say so. Well, God, it ain't raining at my house, so I say so now. But God, I love this. Anybody listen to me? God didn't leave him hanging. God said, hey, watch this now. He said, I want you to go in that brook Cherith. Now, that word Cherith means a cutting place. See, God's cutting some things out of Elijah's life. He kind of says, God will send you to a Cherith so you can cut some things. He's cutting, what is he cutting out of Elijah's life? You can preach a whole message on this. You can preach on the things that God cut out of Elijah's life. Here's a thought for you. He was cutting out self-dependence. Because we're self-made men. We're self-made people. We're Americans. We don't need anybody's help. And I understand and I appreciate that spirit and that attitude. And that is the spirit that has built this country. Thank God for that. I'm not demeaning that at all. But we got to have the help of God. And he's cutting that self-dependence out of Elijah. Now, I don't mean it's wrong, but if Brother Eric, if I preached a message that there was not going to rain, I wouldn't want to go to a brook. Like I preached that today. God told me it ain't going to rain for 3 years. I ain't going down to a brook. I'm going down to the lake. Better yet, I'm going to the ocean. I'm going to hang out where there's a lot of water. And I can take that water and I'll be all right. But God sends him to a brook. I ain't talking about a river, a whitewater rafting river. I'm talking about a brook. Maybe 5 feet wide. Maybe. The people in Israel, they call it wadis. W-A-I-D-I. A wadi. Just a little. Ain't nothing big. But God knows what he's doing. Then God commissioned two ravens. He said, I've commanded ravens to feed thee there. Here's your study. Look at all the times the word there is used in 1 Kings 17. A friend of mine preached on, are you there yet? So, and I got to leave that alone because I might come back and preach that if he don't first. But what I'm saying is he got there and he commanded the ravens to feed him there. And he gets there. Now, think about this. Ravens are dirty birds. To the Jewish people, they are unclean under the law. To us today, we don't want no ravens. We are equivalent as crows. We got three crows hanging around this church flying around. I see them Sunday morning. I pull in. I pulled in one morning. There were all three sitting on top of the church. I said, it's going to be an interesting Sunday. I've had them try to get in the church. I've had them. I had on my video, Colton, on my phone. I heard one. He is knocking on the door one morning. And what it is, that sun shining through hits that light off that picture, and he sees that light, and that's what he's going for. There's been a few crows that's got in here before, but they wasn't the winged kind. But anyway, we don't like crows. We don't like ravens. We don't like those because they're unclean. But watch this. God uses a dirty, unclean animal in his work. If I said, preacher, I just don't understand why God would do that. Well, look where you're at. Because you was dirty and you was unclean under the law. But God done a transformating work in that raven's life, and he's not a dirty animal anymore. But he's in the middle of the service and the work of God. That's a picture to me of the grace of God. Yes, sir. Amen. So we find notice the participants and the promptness morning and evening. They brought him bread and flesh. And he drank from the brook. Morning and evening. I mean, they were bringing ham biscuits in the morning and steak and rolls at night. I mean, somebody said, preacher, where did they get that meat from? One old preacher said he believes that Ahab's out in the backyard grilling a steak. Hey, Jezebel, I know he wasn't grilling, but you ain't got no Bible proof wrong. He's putting that stuff in there. I said, Jezebel, how you want your steak done? And about that time, this raven flies down, grabs that steak off that grill, flies over to Elijah and drops it down and says, I hope you like it cooked medium well. And Elijah said, that's just how I like it. So I said, you ain't got no Bible for that, and you ain't got no Bible to prove it didn't happen either. But honey, it wouldn't be the first time that God used the devil's people to feed his people. Amen. Amen. So there's a delivery. That's your fifth point in your introduction. There's a delivery. What I'm interested in is the drying of the brook. Now, I told you I wanted to preach out of verse 7. And that's true, but it's not entirely true. I actually want to preach in between verse 7 and verse 8. You see that little, in my Bible, it's about that much room. I want to preach right in between there. Because the brook's dried up. Now Elijah's got a decision to make. I want to preach on this thought. What to do when your brook dries up? What to do when your brook dries up? That brook, it can represent many things in your life. Some of you, that brook represents your job. Then you lose your job. Your brook dried up. Some of it could represent your health. Had good health, everything going well. Then your brook dried up. Some of it could represent the peace and the harmony in your family, and then chaos ensued. Your brook dried up. Some of it could represent different emotional needs. It represents whatever it needs to represent to you. All of a sudden, I mean, everything was fine. I think Elijah's enjoying. He's sitting by the brook. He's enjoying fellowship with God. He's getting bread and flesh every morning and every evening. I mean, everything's great. He's drinking. I mean, they say there ain't nothing better than fresh brook and spring water. He's enjoying that. Probably sitting under a shade drinking lemonade if he had it. And all of a sudden, it dries up. Some of you have experienced that before when your brook dried up. What are you going to do when your brook dries up? What are you going to do when you feel like the place where God has brought you and what God has blessed you with seems that it's not producing or doing anything like it was before? Does this make sense? I'll give you three things. I'm preaching between verse 7 and 8. Number one, when your brook dries up, you need to learn to wait on God.
Amen. Yes,
This ain't going to be deep, but I promise you'll be deep when we get a hold of. When your brook dries up, just learn to wait on God. Yeah. I'm an impatient person by nature. I don't like waiting. I don't like waiting at all. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that if I'm trying to turn left to go into Walmart and it's backed up 10 miles, I'll go through Chick-fil-A. Yeah. Hey, man, I hate waiting. I mean, I stand at a microwave looking at it saying, I wish you'd hurry up. I mean, now you might be eat up with patience. God bless you if you are. I'm not. I want it done yesterday. You know, I like things done. I like things quick. I like things moving because I'm ADD, and if you don't get it to me quick, I'll lose interest in it. Yeah. Amen. And so, I don't like waiting, and you know what God will do many times? He'll make you wait. Amen. Bible said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let me give you three things about this. I believe I'm on target. When you're waiting on God, number one, the reason you need to wait on God, number one, you don't want to get ahead of God. Now here's Elijah here. If Elijah would have left on his own instincts and his own intellect, he'd have starved to death in that dry, barren land. If he would have been sitting there and said, well, I've done what God told me to do. Brook's dried up. You know what? I know of another one, Brother Charles. I know of another brook where I could go to. And it's a little bit bigger than this one. Things seem to be going better over there. I'm just going to head over there to that brook. And God never said to. Amen. You see, when you do that, you know what you're doing? You're getting ahead of God. This is real simple. But he didn't want to get ahead of God. But number two, when you get ahead of God, you get away from God. Are you hearing me? I mean, God said, you go to the brook. I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That word there is the central word in that text. There. You get right. I almost believe God had a circle drawn right there by the brook. He said, I just don't want you sitting anywhere at the brook. I want you sitting right there. And if Elijah would have left his there, then he would have got away from God. You see, that's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, your intellect, what you think. Yeah. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Yeah. You know what He'll do? He'll direct your paths. That's so simple. Somebody said, preacher, I know that verse. Then why do we have such a hard time with it? Why do I have such a hard time with it? You see, this, he didn't want to get ahead of God. And he didn't want to get away from God. But let me say this to you. I've seen people get impatient and will go down the road where God never told them to go, and they'll end up drying up and dying on God. Yep. Find them. They're not at church today. I know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, you better be careful what you do in a drought. Amen. Elimelech, famine hit, Elimelech, Ruth 1. Elimelech hits down there at the house of God, house of bread, where God feeds His people. Famine hit. Time to go to Moab. And he died because of it. And his two boys died because of it. I know God worked a miraculous miracle in the work of Ruth and her life, but I believe God could have got Ruth in without Elimelech ever going to Moab. Amen. I believe that. He got Rahab in. I believe he could have got Ruth in. Well, here's what I'm saying this morning. You better be careful what you do when it gets a little dry. When it's not, boy, everybody, y'all remember Brother Eddie preaching a couple years ago about digging that well? Preaching on that well over in John 4. He said, we used to have them old well diggings. They dig a well, and everybody get excited about digging a well. Old days. Everybody be there, and they'd surround that, and they were digging that well. Everybody's excited. But then when it's 3 or 4 days, they ain't hit water yet. Everybody said, well, they'll go off and find something else to do. Everybody's there for the excitement. Everybody's there for groundbreaking day. But when the work's being done and the labor's being done, nobody wants to hang around. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I've heard stories when the church was first built and they had the first service here. I heard this place was packed out. That's wonderful. You know why it's packed out? It's opening day. Where are they at today? What I'm saying is everybody likes new and they like excitement. I like those people that are consistent. Amen. They're just, There's an old preacher. Y'all right? Did you ever know Harold Clayton from Texas? Harold, did you ever hear him preach on the turtle and the rabbit? Did you ever hear him preach that? Oh, yeah, it's a good one. He preached about the turtle. Did you? The turtle and the rabbit's not in the Bible, but it's an illustration used in the message. And that's what the title is. He preached out of Joshua chapter 6 about marching around the walls of Jericho. And he said the key to them winning the victory was walking when God told them to walk and being consistent. That was his point. And you know that old story about the turtle and the rabbit? They want to have that race. And that rabbit looks at that turtle and said, I could beat you. For my generation, we watched the Bugs Bunny cartoon of it. Yeah. Still pretty good. And so, you know, that turtle, he's just getting it. They take off, and man, that rabbit, he takes off, and he's flying. I mean, he's a flying, gets ahead. Sees he's made a lot of ground on that turtle. So he sees a little shade tree, takes him a little nap, goes to sleep. Here comes that turtle. Never any faster. Never any slower. Same old gape. Head down. Just a going. Yes. Passes that rabbit up. Rabbit wakes up. Sees that turtle's past him. Gets all in a panic. Takes off again. Blows the doors off him. Keeps on it going. Makes some more headway. Says, well, he'll never catch me now. I'm going to take me a little nap. Give me a drink of water and take me another little nap. Here comes that old turtle. Never any slower. Never any faster. Same old gait. Head down, leaning slightly forward. He's just a-going. We all know the story of the turtle won the race. Bugs Bunny tried to change it a little bit, but the original story of that turtle. You know why? That turtle's consistent. Now, here's how Dr. Clayton illustrated it. I wish I could have him come preach. He's in his mid-80s now, and I just don't know if he's able to travel it. He's in Texas. I wish I could have him come preach it. But he said, you watch these people. He said, revival meeting comes to town. You watch them rabbits. Woo! Boy, we're glad revival meeting's here. I'm telling you right now, well, I mean, our favorite preacher's here, man. We're going to have a meeting. Yep, here's that turtle. He's just consistent. Yeah. Hey, it's revival time. All right, I'm looking forward to it. And then after revival, you find that rabbit asleep somewhere. Yep. But after the big preacher leaves, that turtle's still there. Amen. Consistent. Yeah. Same old gape. Head down, leaning slightly forward, like Brother Clayton would tell the story. Just keep it on going. Big scene group comes into town. All them rabbit Christians, oh, they get all excited. They get all... And what they do, here's when the people do that. They want to impress the preacher and the singers. They'll put on a show when the big evangelists and the big singers come into town, like, woo, man, we're in this thing. We're in it, man. And then Sunday morning for Sunday school, you can't find with a search warrant. But I thank God for you turtles out there. You're just here. Big name preacher, praise God, looking forward to hearing him. Old Brother Josh, hey, I'm looking forward to hearing him today too. Big fancy singing group, man, that'll be a blessing. Hey, just singing a song and singing a hymn here in the congregation, I'm good with that too. You watch that crowd, they get excited when the big people come. Amen. Boy, I didn't mean to get on all that. Y'all right? He didn't want to get ahead of God, didn't want to wait, get away from God, number three. He didn't want to argue with God. I mean, Elijah said, Lord, I might have some good suggestions about where I need to go. Yeah. I've seen people do that. Yeah. I have had people look me in the face and tell me, we love the preaching, we love the singing, we love everything, but we're going to go somewhere else. And we love you. Man, I hate to see what you do if you hated my guts. Hey, man, you know what they're doing? They're making suggestions to God. The funny thing about God, he never asked me for my opinion. I don't know why I have so many great ones. My wife don't let me give my opinion. My Lord don't let me give my opinion. So I talk to Richie, and he takes my opinion. Amen. What I'm saying is, he wasn't arguing with God. Well, God, I think I ought to go down here. Notice he don't say anything between verse 7 and verse 8. He's just waiting. I got to hurry. Number one, learn to wait on God. Number two, learn to listen for the Word of God. You find Elijah's life, his life is consumed with and the Word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord, according to the word of the Lord. He lived by that word. In fact, I looked at it this morning briefly, I didn't have time to look at it in depth, but in 1 Kings, from 1 Kings 17 to 1 Kings 19, you find about 10 instances where the word of the Lord is being spoken by Elijah, or the word of the Lord is being spoken to Elijah. It's a divine word. It's the word of the Lord. It ain't something that Elijah's making up on his own. It ain't something. I would come back and finish this tonight, but we got a guest preacher tonight coming in, so I got to finish it this morning. Y'all all right? So it's not something Elijah's coming up with on his own. Better watch people when they make decisions concerning their fleshly appetite.
Yes, sir.
Better watch people make decisions that are hasty, that are not scriptural.
Yep.
Amen. When the Lord led me to be the pastor of this church, Jared, He gave me a Bible verse.
Amen.
Nehemiah 2:18. When the Lord, and I hope He never does, but when the Lord tells me to leave, if He ever does, and some of y'all will be glad, He'll give me a Bible verse.
Yes, sir.
And I ain't planning on going anywhere, but if He sends a word, I will. But He hadn't, so I ain't. But I come on a word, I'll leave on a word. Then why do the people in the South, they just leave every time they get their feelings hurt? Or somebody don't shake their hand, or somebody upsets them, or somebody got their,
yeah.
Somebody just rubbed them the wrong way.
Yeah.
That might be why we're so messed up in the South.
Amen.
I mean, here's something to think about, Brother Kenny. If the Lord is going to judge the churches at the judge seat of Christ, which I believe He will, boy, He's going to take a while mixing everybody and getting everybody in the right church.
Yeah.
Okay, you go over there, you're over here, you're over here. I don't know what you're doing over there. I never said anything to you about that. Amen. Salisbury, it's going to be a smorgasbord, I'm just telling you. So, he it's a divine word. It's a direct word. He spoke directly to Elijah.
Amen.
And it's a dependable word. Elijah could bank on it. He said, well, God told me right before. God told me it wasn't going to rain. It hadn't rained. God told me to go to the brook, and the brook would I'd get water from there, and the ravens would feed me, and that worked. So, I'm just going to believe this word. So, when your brook dries up, I'm hurrying. You need to learn to wait on God. You need to listen for the Word of God. But number three, and I'm done. You need to look and watch the work of God.
Amen.
Watch this now. He gets there, and it's interesting. He found out that God will work in an unexpected place. He said, I want you to go to Zarephath. You know where Zarephath was? It was the hometown of none other than Jezebel. And she's the one looking to kill him. And God sends Elijah right in the middle of Jezebel's territory. He said, I'm going to take care of you here.
Yeah.
God will work in an unexpected place. Number two, God will work with unlikely people. A widow is going to sustain thee there. That's backwards. Us as men, we're in a drought. We're not going to let a little old widow and a little old boy take care of us. We're going to step up. We're going to be the men. We're going to take care of them. Ain't that right? Ain't that the natural instinct? But God said, we ain't going to do it that way. This ain't about you, Elijah. This is about you doing what I told you to do. So I'm going to work through this unlikely person, this widow. Number three, He'll only work in an unexpected place, and He'll work with an unlikely person. He'll work through an unusual portion. He comes to her, and I'm skipping a lot of this just for sake of time. He looks at her and said, she's gathering two sticks. He looks at her and says, fetch me a morsel of water. Fetch me some water. And apparently she had a good supply of water because she went and got it without any reservations. And he said, and also bring me a cake in thine hand. And she stopped. Ain't we quick to give out our abundance? She must have had a lot of water. She didn't mind giving him that. But when he said, now give me a cake, she turned around and said, I have not. But a handful of meal and a little bit of cruise and oil, and I'm taking these two sticks, I'm paraphrasing, and me and my son, we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. Somebody said, well, that's insulting that Elijah even asked her for that. He just followed what God said to do. So watch this now. Somebody said, preacher, I don't see any faith in what that lady said. We're going to take these two sticks, we're going to prepare a meal, me and my son, we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. I don't see any faith in that. Oh, I do. I see a lot of faith. See, if I was going to build a fire, and I knew this was my last meal, I wouldn't be out scrounging for two sticks. I'd just take me a sledgehammer and bust my barrel. Bet my meal's in. Because I ain't going to use it no more. I'd just bust it and start my fire. Have my cake, eat it, and die.
Yeah.
But she's out gathering two sticks. Could it be, and I've gave this before, but could it be she wasn't going to close out any avenues for God to meet her need? See, a lot of you are like, God, would you help me? And God said, I would, but you've already busted your barrel. You getting a hold of this? God, God, things are a little tight around my house, so I'm going to quit giving to missions until we can get things set. You just busted your barrel. God, things are a little hectic, so we're gonna take some time off and quit going to church, have some family time. You just busted your barrel.
Yeah.
That thing that God wants to work through to help you, you're busting it all to pieces. She didn't do that. She said, I'm just going to wait. And she said, all I have is a handful of meal. She ain't got much. I mean, and a lady's hand most of the time is smaller than a man's hand. And she's got a handful, so in Elijah's hand, it ain't much. But little is much when God's in it. Somebody, and so she goes, she makes Elijah that cake. I'm a hushing. She goes and makes Elijah that cake and brings it to him. He eats it. He said, now you go make one for you and your son. She goes back, and I see her get that little spoon, and she beats that side of that thing. She said, well, so there's a little more in there than I thought there was. In fact, there's another handful in there. And so she got her a handful, and she made a cake for her son. She said, I'm just going to beat it out a little bit more and see if I can at least make a muffin for myself. She found there was still a handful in there. I do not believe that God filled that barrel to the top. I don't believe it at all. I believe every time she wanted something, there was a handful in there. Every time they wanted breakfast, there was a handful. If they wanted lunch, there was a handful. If they wanted supper, there was a handful. If they wanted brunch, that's in between breakfast and lunch. They had a handful. If they wanted, like I do sometimes, a late midnight snack, there was a handful. That little boy's getting suspicious. I think about things in my mind. He sees mama go. He sees mama go to that barrel, and he knows it ain't full, but every time they need something, there's a handful there. And I see it, old brother Ron Garris preached it like this. He said, I see that little boy, like little boys do, sneak downstairs and in the middle of the night and look over and peek down in the bottom of that barrel, and written in the middle of that barrel, look like the finger of God, written Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And can I say this? When you feel like your brook is dried up, God's got a barrel just down the road that He's going to meet your need and take care of you. So just wait on God. Listen for the Word of God. And then look and watch what God will do. He'll work in an unexpected place. He'll work with unlikely people. He'll work through an unusual portion. And He'll work out an unbelievable product. The Bible said the barrel of the meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which He spake by Elijah. Your brook may have dried up this week. May have dried up a couple weeks ago. And you're trying to figure out what am I supposed to do? Very simple. Learn to wait on God.